Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined by Adam Credo, one of the most intrepid and, I think, most important correspondents, reporters, analysts, commentators, if you will, on matters involving foreign and national security policy. These days, he is a writer for the Washington Free Beacon. I consider it to be an indispensable online resource, not least because of his great work there, as well as our friend and colleague Bill Gertz. I'm also reminded of some of the work that he's been doing in the past in organizations like the Jewish Telegraphic Agency and the Jerusalem Post, because it has informed much of his insights into an important part of his beat, namely the Middle East. Adam Credo, it's so good to have you. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I want to start with the Middle East because you've been doing some really important work on focusing attention in a place that I don't think it's getting nearly enough, and that is on what is happening on the ground in Syria in the wake of the combined effort of, well, American air power and the Russians, the Assad regime, the Iranians for sure, to take down the ISIS enclaves there. When you look at this, Adam Credo, what are you seeing in the way of the consolidation of power by Iran in that country and your thoughts on its implications?
Sure. Well, this is part of a larger pursuit by the Iranians. Syria is really one leg, I think, of what it was described to be recently by a member of Congress on the Foreign Affairs Committee, Iranian colonization of the Middle East. And I think that that's an accurate description of what they're up to and what they're trying to do. In Syria, look, it's a matter of establishing bases, establishing a permanent presence there, bolstering relations with the Russians and Russian Air Force in particular, and bolstering Hezbollah, their terror proxy group that sits on Israel's northern border. And for Iran, Syria obviously is a key place. It gives them essentially that land bridge that they're trying to build from Syria all the way across the Middle East. And that's why we also see them in Iraq. We see the Iranians having a large presence now in Lebanon as the prime minister there resigned and Hezbollah kind of takes over the entire country. And of course, elsewhere that the Iranians are playing around Yemen and other areas.
Yeah, no, you're so right. This is just one place in a larger tableau, shall we say, that is being drawn up by this Iranian mullahocracy. I do wonder, though, Adam, what you make of the prospects that we will see this positioning translate into the next, well, at a minimum, regional conflict between Israel and the Iranians, either their proxies, Hezbollah and others, or the Iranians themselves.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's one this government, the Trump administration, is not looking at closely enough. I think they have their plate full, but they're kind of avoiding the long-term questions that are going to be very important. Look, if we start to combat Iranian influence now in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, certainly in Lebanon, we can avoid what I think is going to be, at the very least, a regional war, and if it spirals out of control, another world war as a result of Iran's influence in the region. We have Hezbollah armed to the teeth on Israel's northern border. They in Israel will not permit this for much longer. We have Iran meddling around in Syria, of course, another location that brings them even closer to the Israelis. And I think the longer this administration neglects actually combating that Iranian influence, the more likely it is that we're going to have a very big conflict in that region down the road.
Adam, you've reported on a seeming bipartisan consensus in the Congress, a very rare thing these days, on precisely this point, that the colonization, if you will, of Syria by Iran is an extremely ominous thing, and calling for the Trump administration to take steps to counter that. Tell us a little bit about who's behind that and the value you think might attach to that initiative.
Absolutely. I think this is very important, and I found it particularly interesting when I came across this letter. This is nearly 50 members of Congress in the House, House lawmakers, but a very large bipartisan effort. I mean, I'm talking as far left and far right as you can get. And essentially what they're saying is that after going to the region, they're incredibly concerned about the role Iran is playing in Syria. They're wondering why the Trump administration is not working hard to combat Iran having a permanent military presence there, and what really would be a historic policy shift of allowing another country to expand its military outside of its borders. And it's particularly concerning when it's the Iranians. And of course, the other things like them building weapons factories in Syria, that is arming Hezbollah directly. This is helping the Iranians stop shipping missiles because they can actually build them locally for Hezbollah and get them to them more quickly. So all of these things is really forcing these lawmakers to say, we have a major problem here, and we have a major problem that's going to get worse very soon if we don't deal with it now, which kind of harkens back to what I was just saying. And they're asking, very interestingly, they're asking the Trump administration, come to us, come to Congress, and present us with a plan on how to combat the Iranian presence in Syria.
Well, it's overdue, that's for sure. And it's related, I think, to something else you've been reporting on, Adam Credo, at the Washington Free Beacon, namely the aid that we are effectively giving the Iranians, or at least, again, their proxies, the Iranian Shiite militias, for example, and perhaps others as well, either directly or indirectly in the Palestinian areas, as well as, of course, Iraq and Syria. What's being done on that front to try to stop this presumably unintentional support for our enemies?
Well, you know, there's actually a question there. Is it unintentional support? And that's a question that it's a question we'd have to ask the architects of this program, which happen to be people at the State Department that are holdovers from the former administration, officials like Brett McGurk, who's our ISIS czar and, of course, served for 8 years under the Obama administration.
And this was a policy that began during that period, as I understand it, right?
Absolutely correct. The Obama administration's effort to arm Iraqi militia forces that they thought would take on ISIS on their behalf. The problem is a large number of these militias are controlled by Iranian forces, have ties to Hezbollah, have ties to the Badr Corps, have ties certainly to the IRGC, the Quds forces, and the commander there, Soleimani. So I think the Obama administration quite specifically turned a blind eye to this because it was a narrative that did not benefit their policy towards Iran, which was emboldening Iran, enforcing this nuclear agreement. But the Trump administration inherited and has continued this policy of providing money, arms, and training to the Iraqi Ministry of Interior, which has doled out this cash, assistance, training, and weapons to militia fighters that are tied to the Iranians. And we've seen the repercussions of this, them killing and targeting our Kurdish allies. And I think this really has become one of the biggest foreign policy scandals in the region, and nobody really seems to care. And I think that's very sad.
Well, scandals is one aspect of it. Debacle is another way to put it, I think. And it certainly is undermining Americans' interests and, as you say, our allies in that part of the world to our great detriment. Adam Credo, we are too far out of time to address another issue, which I hope we'll get you back on soon to discuss, namely the use of the visa lottery by terrorists. I'm very pleased to say David Bratt, Congressman from Virginia, has introduced legislation, H.R. 4340, to stop that. But this is a subject for a conversation with you, I hope, very soon. Adam Credo, thank you in the meantime for the work you're doing at the Washington Free Beacon and for joining us. Do come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.